Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Welcome to a brand new week of bringing clarity to the chaos. This week, Donald Perkins will help us better understand the book of Revelation. We examine the 40 irrefutable signs of the last generation, and today, Larry Spargimino and Josh Davis will examine the lasting impact of the famous Scopes monkey trial that happened 100 years ago. Friends, you may not realize this, but you keep our lights on, our microphones working, and our extraordinary staff paid. For 92 years, Southwest Radio has been 100% listener and supporter funded. This spring, we've hit a tough patch, and we need you now more than ever. A one-time gift is a huge blessing right now. A monthly gift is even bigger, helping sustain us for months to come. How can you give, you ask? By phone, by mail, or online at swrc.com. Call today to become a monthly partner if you haven't already. 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Or simply go to swrc.com/donate. Now, here's Dr. Larry Spargimino and Josh Davis.
July 2025 marks the 100th anniversary of one of the best-known court cases in American history, Creation versus Evolution, on debate 100 years ago this month. This landmark case is formerly called the State of Tennessee versus John Thomas Scopes, but it's better known in popular lore as the Scopes Monkey Trial. It was a small town of Dayton, Tennessee that became America's focal point, with a fiery debate breaking out over the role of the Bible in public education. And we see this debate still going on in our day-to-day, and some of the same players that were involved back 100 years ago are still very much in the forefront of the education debate going on today. Last year, Louisiana mandated that the Ten Commandments be posted in every public school classroom in the state. The state of Texas recently passed a similar bill, and as of this recording, it was awaiting the governor's signature. Back in 2024, Oklahoma public schools mandated the incorporation of the Bible and the Ten Commandments into their curriculum. There's a well-known group who is pushing back, yes, the ACLU. They're taking legal action to block these attempts. This is the interesting part of this. The ACLU was only 5 years old back in 1925, and they were at the forefront of the Scopes monkey trial as well. So are we going to see history repeat itself? Joining me to discuss where the history is 100 years ago and also information that we need to know is Pastor Larry Spargimino. Pastor Larry, thank you so much for joining me today.
Always a blessing to work with you.
Well, we're discussing the Scopes monkey trial, and let me share a little of the historical information about that. But we want to talk about creation, evolution. We want to talk about some of the racism even that's involved with evolutionary theory, and the fact that they label Bible-believing Christians as science deniers. And these kinds of labels that we hear today were around 100 years ago here in the United States of America. Well, let's talk a little bit about the history of the Scopes monkey trial. The film Inherit the Wind debuted in 1960. It was based off of a 1955 stage play by the same name. And this popularized this 1925 Scopes trial. And the film was widely received as if it was factually correct docudrama. Sadly, the facts of the landmark case faded into fiction when the film introduced its story to a new generation who were enthralled by the emerging scientific frontiers. There's one scene in the film that depicts a science teacher. He's bravely standing in front of the classroom. He's beginning to lecture when his supervisors silently slip into the back of the classroom. The teacher boldly announces his intention to teach Charles Darwin's theory on the origin of man, and one of the supervisors puts a stop to his plan in front of the whole class. This is what the movie portrays, and it does make for a dramatic scene, but it's all fiction. None of that is based in the facts of what happened in 1925. John T. Scopes was not a science teacher. He was a football coach, and he was asked to substitute teach a biology class the last couple of weeks of the school year for a teacher who was ill. He didn't boldly lecture the class about the evolution of man or Charles Darwin or anything else like that. He expressed doubts about whether he had even taught evolution in the classroom at all. And Pastor Larry, I know you have a unique perspective you want to share about Scopes and also about Charles Darwin and their scientific background or the lack thereof.
Well, thank you, because people need to know that these men were not scientists. Even Charles Darwin, he was not a scientist. In fact, the average junior high student in America today knows more science than Charles Darwin ever knew. I have a book in my library. It's titled What Darwin Didn't Know by Jeffrey Simmons, M.D. It is endorsed by William Dembski and also Dr. Michael Behe, author of Darwin's Black Box. The book, What Darwin Didn't Know, shows that Darwin did not know very much. He was ignorant of the amazing complexity of the human body. Dr. Simmons produces a tidal wave of evidence that proves that random chance cannot explain the wonder, yes, the miracle of life. To put it plainly, those who support Darwin and his view on evolution or any kind of evolution simply do not know what they're talking about. It is almost unbelievable, but popular opinion must not be our standard. And I think we often see that so many times. People get some ideas and they run with the ideas. They sound true. They sound good. They sound scientific. Oh, they must be true. But actually, what they did was to produce scientism and not science. There's a big difference between the two.
Absolutely, there really is. And let's go back to the history of 1925 and understand some of the basis for this famous Scopes monkey trial to begin with, as we're talking about the 100th anniversary, July of 1925, when this trial took place in Dayton, Tennessee. And by the way, for our friends that are on our mailing list, the July 2025 Prophetic Observer will have much of what I'm sharing with you and a little bit more than what we have time to share on the air in the July 2025 Prophetic Observer. Now, if you're not on our mailing list, we will be happy to add you to our mailing list and send you the Prophetic Observer freely as a gift to you from Southwest Radio Ministries. Just contact our ministry today, 1-800-652-1144. Ask for our free welcome packet, and you will be added to our mailing list. And if you want to specifically request this particular Prophetic Observer, you can do that as well. It's got this detailed information in written form so that you can read it and have it and share it with others that you may want to share it with. Again, just ask for the Prophetic Observer from Southwest Radio Ministries. This particular one will be featured in the July 2025 Prophetic Observer newsletter. Now, let's go back and talk about some of the historical background behind the Scopes monkey trial. In 1925, Tennessee had passed what they called the Butler Act, which made it illegal to, quote, teach any theory that denies the story of the divine creation of man as taught in the Bible, and to teach instead that man has descended from a lower order of animals, end quote. Basically, Tennessee outlawed teaching evolutionary theory, especially in biology, and that's what started this whole trial. So the ACLU caught wind of this new state law, and they began to publish advertisements in several Tennessee newspapers. There was an ad in the Chattanooga Daily Times that read, quote, "We're looking for a Tennessee teacher who's willing to accept our services in testing this law in the courts. Our lawyers think a friendly test can be arranged without costing a teacher his or her job," end quote. Well, there was a local businessman who lived about 40 miles away from Chattanooga. He saw an opportunity. I can bring attention. I can bring a business boom to my small town and the surrounding rural Ray County, Tennessee. And they talked Scopes into participating, although he was very reluctant to do so. He was much more interested in football than he was biology or evolutionary theory. Now, Dr. David Minton, who passed away in 2021, held a PhD in biology. He worked with Answers in Genesis after a remarkable academic career. He wrote about this trial. Although Scopes never taught evolution during his 2 weeks as a biology teacher, and thus really didn't violate the Butler Act, it was considered sufficient that the class textbook, Hunter's Civic Biology, did cover the evolution of man. For example, the Hunter textbook speculated that in his early history, man must have been little better than one of the lower animals and concluded that at the present time, there exist upon earth five races or varieties of man, the highest type of all the Caucasians, represented by civilized white inhabitants of Europe and America. That's a direct quote from Hunter's Civic Biology, this textbook that was used in the school classrooms in the state of Tennessee 100 years ago this very month. And so this unbiblical, unscientific, and disgusting racism undergirded the original teaching of Darwinian evolutionary theory. And sadly, this goes unnoticed by many people, and the likes of Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, bought into this kind of evolutionary theory, and she coupled that with eugenics and white supremacy to popularize abortion, and she targeted predominantly non-white neighborhoods to put her Planned Parenthood centers in those areas. And Pastor Larry, I know you want to say something about the racism that is caused by evolutionary theory.
Well, you know, as you look at Hunter's Civic Biology, it advocated the evolutionary proof for the superiority of white people over black people. Can you imagine that? And this textbook also promoted eugenics as a solution for reducing the population of people considered, quote, inferior. So this is the true side of evolutionary theory. It is absolutely barbaric, and it's rejected today, even by those who support evolution, because they realize that there are so many problems with it. Scopes looks like a hero, and everybody's so happy. We've finally got, you know, we've got intellectual freedom in the classroom. No, we've got one side of the story, the wrong side. And of course, we can talk a lot about Ota Benga, the little pygmy who was put in the New York City Zoo. He was treated like an animal. And Darwin, of course, said that people who were not white were savages, meaning bad people, dumb people, they didn't know very much. So this is a theory that's so disruptive, so destructive to truth and to harmony. And we see what it's doing to families, dysfunctional families, out of wedlock children, broken homes, on and on and on. All of this truth is found in the book of Genesis. It's basic. We need to get back to the Bible.
Amen, Pastor Larry. We certainly do. And that was really the battle, and we're going to talk about some of the fallout from the Scopes Monkey Trial and how it hurt some churches and hurt Christian witness and the response of the church. And we'll get into that in just a few minutes, friends. But let's cover some more about the trial as we're exploring the 100th anniversary of the Scopes Monkey Trial. It was July of 1925 in Dayton, Tennessee, where this historic trial took place. A battle between creation versus evolution. That's not really what the trial was about, but that's what it devolved, pardon my pun, into. And going back to some of the history of the trial, the battle lines were drawn. The persecution hired a popular lawyer. He was a politician and a Christian. His name, William Jennings Bryan. And Bryan College, not too far from Dayton, Tennessee, was named in his memory. The ACLU hired the well-known criminal attorney and an avowed agnostic, Clarence Darrow, to help defend John T. Scopes. And so if this businessman wanted attention and wanted to bring that attention to his small town and rural community, well, friends, he got a circus. And national media people from all over descended upon rural Ray County, Tennessee, and the court's central job was to decide whether Scopes broke the law by violating the Butler Act. But these high-profile lawyers focused more on whether evolution should be taught as a fact in the public schools. And so the large crowds were engulfed in this debate. It quickly morphed into a public battle between biblical creation versus natural evolution. You see, the trial was never really about Scopes' violation of the law. It was really an attempt to test the law and to force the legal system to decide what was permissible to teach in public schools. And for the record, Scopes was found guilty, but the prosecution and the defense both offered to pay his $100 fine. The Butler Act was not repealed in Tennessee until 1967, just a few short years after the school-mandated prayer and Bible reading were declared unconstitutional by the U.S. Supreme Court. And now we turn to some of the impact and implications that this has had upon the church and upon American education. It was Dr. John D. Morris, Ph.D., former president of the Institute for Creation Research, who talked about the fallout from this famous trial and what happened to the evangelical Christian community as a result. He said, quote, "What did occur was a debilitating defeat for Christians in the public eye. Believers retreated into their churches and abandoned the schools, media, and influence in the public arena to the secularists. We still suffer from this retreat today. We find Christian principles systematically excluded. America, whose citizenry overwhelmingly identifies with Christianity, has become fully secularized. The Scopes trial was the turning point." End quote. And Pastor Larry, I know you have some comments that you want to share about science and the role of science and faith and the church.
As we look at the book of Genesis, there's a lot of things in there that people say are not scientific. They don't square with science. They're wrong, and so on and so forth. But what's really amazing today is that there are many credentialed PhDs. They have recognized degrees in biology, chemistry, physics, and all of those things. And they agree that the Bible is correct. Of course, the Bible is not a scientific textbook. We don't want to claim that for the Bible, but it is correct in what it says. And I'm just amazed how we see all of this unbelief, and yet we have all of these apologetic ministries. We have all of these scientists who say the Bible is true. And you know, there are so many in the world who are now looking at origins, and they realize that a lot of stuff that's in evolution is just hocus pocus. It's not science, it's scientism, which is a philosophy, and that's certainly not science. I think one of the terrible things, you know, Josh, that has happened today is that we've ignored the book of Genesis. Genesis is so important. In fact, in Genesis 3, verse 9 and following, God calls out to Adam, "Where art thou?" God knew where they were. This question was not for information, but God wanted their confession. Adam said this, it's very important, "I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself." The shame associated with nudity is no modern contrivance. You know, people say, well, that's just your culture. No, it's basic to who we are. Everything in the Bible is basic to who we are. It's natural to want to cover up. Even in heaven, clothing is mentioned. You never find mention of naked saints and naked angels in heaven. But today, this basic shame has disappeared in many parts of the world. Romans 1:20 nicely summarizes all the opposition to the biblical account of creation. Quote, "Claiming to be wise, they became fools." And you know, we see all of the crime, all of the broken homes, everything that's going on that's so bad, the murder. Some of the murders that are taking place are just so nonsensical. I mean, it's just an act of rage. Wow, science and the scripture tells us we need to get back to the Bible because the Bible is true. We can prove it. People say, well, give me the facts. Show me the facts, mister. You know, the way the badge 714 Dragnet, where the detective often said that, we've got lots of facts. That's what's so amazing. People say, well, religion is just religion, but let's get to the facts. The facts prove the Word of God. The facts prove the Genesis account. And if we ignore that, we will suffer like we are suffering today. So many lovely teenagers, they're so confused. The boys, the girls, they don't know who they are. We have these crazy ideas that are being taught. But you know, we are having some victories. This was reported in the Epoch Times for June 18, 2025. The Supreme Court upholds Tennessee's ban on gender-affirming care for minors, close quotes. The Biden administration said that Tennessee's ban constituted a form of sex-based discrimination, but the Supreme Court said, no, Tennessee's right. As we fight, as we struggle, as we marshal the arguments from the scripture and from science, we are on the winning side. I think so many people, so many parents are just fed up with the nonsense that's going on in the American public schools. No wonder we have homeschooling, Christian education. People are are wising up. They don't want their kids exposed to this nasty, naughty, bad stuff that's not good for anyone, even adults.
Pastor Larry, I find it so ironic that within a span of 100 years, Tennessee has been in the spotlight. 100 years ago, it was for the Scopes monkey trial. And over the course of 100 years, we see where we are today, transgenderism and all these things that are a result of evolutionary theory, that we are not made in the image of God. But if we don't understand what the first 10 words of the Bible tell us, that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and if we can't stand upon that, why can we trust God for saving our souls? Why can we trust God for Bible prophecy, which we tend to focus on here on Watchmen on the Wall? Why can we trust God to fulfill those kinds of things? And you've been sharing so many different facts, and there are great scientific facts that undergird the belief that, yes, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And in fact, many of the arguments that they used to purport evolutionary theory back 100 years ago have been proven totally false. Now, biblical creationists are calling out their adherence to this religion of scientism, as you said at the beginning, Pastor Larry, for closing their minds to the mountains of evidence that point to the necessity of an intelligent designer. It is past time to give the Creator King of the universe his rightful place in the study of science as we go back to the book of Genesis and understand the Creator. And we look forward to the book of Revelation when he comes again and makes all things new in his beautiful creation. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Larry, for your time and joining me today.
Well, great to be with you. This is true truth. We need to preach it and tell everybody about the Word of God. There is hope, there's joy, there's peace, there's meaning in the Bible.
Summer is a great time to relax, spend time with family and friends. Summer is not a great time for Southwest Radio Ministries. As the temperatures go up, the giving has gone down. It's a cycle that unfortunately repeats itself each year. Right now, we're in a large giving drought. We need you to please be praying and giving to help SWRC and Watchmen on the Wall through these difficult summer months. Please give today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also give on our website, swrc.com. That's swrc.com. Please give today. With some encouragement and insight into this summertime slump, here is author Greg Patton.
Well, way back then, back in the day, I was anti-church in so many areas. So how in the world did I get saved at just such a time? Most of you know that I was saved in a small, independent, fundamental KJV Baptist church in Acton, Indiana, back in 1974. How many years has that been? And a couple of things have come to mind reference to the church today, and maybe there's some listening today that belonged to one of these kind of churches, overemphasizing judgment instead of grace. I always say, and I include it in most of my messages whenever I give my conversion story, that one of the things that really surprised me when we went into this little Baptist church in Acton, I think the whole town had 50 people in it, and the thing that surprised me is Mr. McGowan, I think he was 78, maybe my age at the time, he seemed really old, but he was so kind and loved, he was the greeter. Sharon and I arrived, she's a former model, and boy, she was dressed to the hilt that day. Scantily clad in some regards. I had on my usual, 10 rings and gold chains around my neck and shoulder-length hair that you would expect. The people were quite different than me. You would expect them to say, what on earth has come through the door now of our church? But none of that. I don't know when I felt more welcome in a church. I recall one time, and boy, I was tough at the time about all things worldly. We had a Sunday night service, and one of our teenagers invited some kids, and oh, they were just a little scary way back when. I mean, I've been at this church 37 years, so I guess it had to be 37 years ago in the beginning. Anyway, two of the boys came in with their girls, and they had earrings on. And for some reason, the message that I was preaching just switched onto worldly things. And somehow, without too much hiding, I got on the topic of men and women and how they should look. And make a long story short, it was a tough service, and we never, ever saw those kids again. Some churches seem more interested in condemning the sinner than in somehow walking beside him. Quick, show them your WWJD's bracelet. What would Jesus do? If some weird-looking person came into your church on Sunday, are they welcome? Would they be allowed to sit in the front or the back or wherever they wanted? Would people come up and welcome them? Harsh rhetoric around sin, salvation, morality can make faith feel like a transaction rather than some kind of a relationship. And this leaves people that come into the church feeling unworthy, ashamed, or fearful rather than being uplifted and redeemed and excited about church. I mean, they're new, they're lost. Grace becomes a theological term, not a reality extended from one human being to another. When the tone of the message becomes more about inclusion than embracing, people stop listening altogether. It's over. I went to I-74 Baptist Church because of a 16-year-old kid. Just a sweetheart of a young man. Kevin Mitchell. Perfect? Oh, no. He was listening to me on a rock music station. How spiritual was he really? There we go, judging again. Right? Anyway, make a long story short, I thought, hey, Kevin's a nice guy. He likes the church. I'm going to do him a favor and go to his little Baptist church, whatever that is. Changed my life forever over 50 years ago. Thank you, Kevin Mitchell, for inviting me to church. Thank the congregation, if any of you are listening and still alive from back 1974. Thank you for treating me decent, that I would want to come back and hear the salvation message, get saved, and have it be the greatest day of my life. The church, the way it ought to be.
Thank you for being here today, and thank you for your continued prayers and financial support. Your gifts are helping us get through these difficult summer months. Please give today when you call 1-800-652-1144. You can also give on our website, swrc.com. Tomorrow, Noah Hutchings will reveal the 40 irrefutable signs of the last generation. Be sure to tune in by subscribing to our daily Watchman on the Wall podcast. Watchman on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Please visit our website, swrc.com.